This is exactly right.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Refresh the summer vibes with Tic Tac and you could win a Lollapalooza VIP experience in Chicago. Visit TicTacSummer.com for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of 50 U.S. states and D.C. 18 plus. Ends June 30th, 2024. Void in PR and where prohibited. See TicTacSummer.com for rules and free entry without UPC.
I'm Babs Gray and I'm pansexual, so you could call me a people pleaser.
I'm Brandy Posey, and I saw the best butts of my generation destroyed by fourth meal.
Oh,
I'm Tess Barker, and I have a great ass, and I still have to have a job. Please advise.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
For everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
It's time for the show.
Yeah.
That's usually so true.
What happens next. It's very exciting.
You could say that we're in the show. You could say that we're actually, the show is happening.
Yeah, we're in the show. It's showtime. Is it showtime if we're already in it? Or is showtime right when it's showtime?
Yeah, is showtime, showtime the beginning or all of it?
To me, showtime is like, it's the moment before David throws a Goliath. It's like, it's showtime.
Yeah. It's the like... Okay. The moment before you...
Before the curtain opens.
Yes.
Or
yeah.
When you take
okay,
the...
Okay,
okay. So it's not technically showtime right now. It was showtime.
Before. It was.
Yeah. We're way past showtime at this point.
Yeah. When you heard, this is exactly right, that was showtime. And then it's just been show, right?
Yeah. So now it's the time of the show.
Yeah. This is show. We're in show. We're in show.
We're in the money.
What do we got? Any stuff?
Oh, this weekend I'll be in St. Louis. Picture this at the Flyover Comedy Festival on November 10th. Come to it.
Yay. Come to it. And yeah, check out all of our dates, ladytoladycomedy.com. You can see our calendar there with our various stand-ups and yak-em-ups. That's not a word.
Yeah. I'll take yak-em-ups. Oh, also,
was it Yakko, one of the Animaniacs?
Yeah, Yakko, Wakko, and Dot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yakko, I loved that show, man. I did not understand half the references, but like, I also kind of liked not knowing a lot of references in TV as a kid because I was like, ooh, there's like something to learn someday.
And it didn't frustrate me. It was just okay.
No.
Yeah. I think it was like someday I'll understand what that means, but it's funny now.
You know what I never understood until I was an adult is remember on Romancing the Stone where they end up on the weed plane?
I didn't
know what weed was. Like, that scene made no sense to me until I was an adult.
Yeah.
What happened? Did they get high or something?
They get high, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Babs, you've never seen Romancing the Stone?
No, I need to see it.
It's really good.
Oh, it's really good. Yeah, we should probably watch it.
We should watch it.
It's really good. I mean, I don't want to build it up too much, but it's really good.
It's really, really fun. Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Don't cast say anymore.
Michael Douglas at his best.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah.
That was a big one of my faves as a kid. I think that's like, that was like Rick's mom's favorite movie too. So it's like a mom of this generation that is there.
It has universal appeal. Well, I think also like it feels like people are moms. Like that generation is like peak romance novel. Like that is like the demo. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I wonder if we'll age into that because
I don't know. I mean,
I've got porn. I mean, I don't know.
I like horny books for sure. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I read this book about psychology. I forget exactly what, but anyway, the therapist in the book was talking about her addiction to erotica, and the way she was talking about it, I was like, wow, you must. Yeah. I mean, your experience of erotica is wildly different than like. She was talking about how, like, it was like a problem. Like, she would like stay like, and I'm like, I just can't imagine being that addicted to romance novels.
Well, yeah, me neither. But I also get it. And like, I think also that means she knows where the real good shit is. And maybe if we were reading that shit, then we'd be like, I'm also addicted to this.
Yeah.
Well, and I definitely read, there was some website where when I was like, you know, growing up, I would read like erotic stories or something. Mm. And it definitely feels like, I think as women, obviously we get so much like more stimulated mentally.
Exactly.
And, like,
yeah.
It felt like such a safe like way to like explore, you know, things too.
Well, and I'd be curious what her relationship to like where her senses fall in all the different spectrums of senses too. Like, you know, because it's like some people, it's like you can like think of something and feel it. Like you can like, you know, you can like, you know. So I'd be curious to know like how hypersensitive she is with like certain stuff too.
Maybe, yeah, for her, reading an erotica book is like that dinner scene in Hook where it's like, it becomes real.
yeah. Yeah,
that's a really good point.
That could like be very much what's happening.
I mean, I guess that might be what I like. Horny books too, and probably is like, I think I'm a pretty vivid reader too.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I never thought of it being on a spectrum like that, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah. When someone like writes it, yeah, food is a big one for me too. Like, when someone writes really well about food, it's like, it's almost like an earworm for my tongue. Like, I'm like, I have to have a bite of that.
Yeah, totally.
I read a book, The Gentleman in Moscow, which is on more tools. It was a good book, but like, I would say that's my book recommendation if you want to read about good food.
Mm.
It's about a guy that's like stuck in a hotel in the middle of the Russian Revolution, but his meals are just like,
great. Yeah. Growing up, did you guys read any Brian Jakes growing up? Like all the Moss Flower Redwall series? They're really awesome series of books, but his food descriptions go on for like pages and pages and like, yeah, they sound amazing. Everything sounds amazing. That's what I learned what a scone was.
Scone. I'm rereading Wild and like, I don't know if I think her descriptions of food are pretty good, but the hunger she has for everything because she's so fucking tired from like her hiking and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so when she like eats, you know, a burger or something for the first time after like only eating beans out of a can for 2 weeks, you just feel that. You're like, oh God, this must have like tasted so good.
Yeah.
Sit down in a restaurant and like drink a Coke and everything.
She does do a great job of that. Like I still remember her describing an ice cream cone after like not having had something like that. Yeah. Oh, man, that is a good meal. Like, the first meal after you camp.
Yeah.
Oh. Or just, like, that one of those days where you've been walking all day or you've, like a long hike and you're just like, I'm fueling my body.
Yeah. You've actually, like, exerted yourself in the way that, like, your body is capable of.
Yeah.
That's some good shit.
Pretty sick. Hell. You know what else is good shit?
This
podcast.
Oh, my God. Hey.
Our guest is a New York-based stand-up comedian. She's been touring all over the place. She uses animated optimism on her own physical disability, yet fearless honesty about the social assumptions that come with living with cerebral palsy. And she has a super strong following on Instagram and TikTok, so you may have seen her on there or on her Comedy Central featuring set. Please enjoy our hang with Tina Frimmel, everybody. Excited to talk to our guest. She's a comedian based out of New York, Tina Frimmel. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. You're just joining us from being on tour in our area on the West Coast, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I actually never been out there before. Ever.
How was it?
It was okay. I've been calling it, I liked it a concerning amount. Every single person I know is on the East Coast. My whole family, just everyone, and so I bounced around from San Diego, LA, Portland, Seattle, San Francisco, all of the above.
Yeah.
And just, I loved it so much. I actually, you know, the funny thing, because when you hear particularly not so good things about LA.
Yeah,
and
yeah, of course.
But yeah. LA people, I like how people that are fake, they're all just trying to network with you. And the common phrase is people in New York are kind, but they're not nice. People in LA are nice, but they're not kind.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I kind of went into that with that mental.
See, right.
That was, I got there, and I'm a very bubbly person, and everyone was matching my exact energy, and I feel like I just related. Like I was walking around LA, like this feels more like my place than New York does, and then it hit me like, oh. Maybe I'm nice, but not kind. Maybe they were trying to warn me about me.
We are the nice people your parents warned us about. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so true. And like, I've never really understood that mentality. Because like when it comes to like strangers I meet on the streets, I don't need you to be much more than nice.
Yeah.
You know, like, if I'm just at a bagel shop with you and you're an asshole, but deep down you have a kind heart, I don't really give a fuck if you're rude to me in line.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not going to be interacting so long that I get to your kindness.
Yeah. Like, it's
just be nice and get out of the way is what I need for most people, right? Because if you're kind to everybody, then you have a boundary problem, I think.
That's a lot of emotional,
yeah.
And also, labor. I've been to New York. They're not kind to everybody. That's hilarious that they... I watched a human being passed out on a subway with their head in the track car and watched a bunch of other human beings watch that happen. They're not that kind in New York City.
No, exactly. Like, well, you're right. Just kind of... I don't care how you... are there for your friends when they move. Like,
yeah.
I'm just trying to get a coffee.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I don't need to read your diary and, like, see what your good deeds are. Like,
no.
Yeah. I just need you to use a blinker every once in a while.
I need you to not cuss me out when I try to change lanes. That would be great.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. I don't know. Yeah. I just like, I've always had just a principle for no, like, I mean, I don't know if it's a hot take or what, but like, just I've always thought you kind of, as a person in society, have a bit of a responsibility to be lovely to people when they're out and about.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's how a society should work to some degree, is just, yeah, like, be polite, like, treat others as you want to be treated, and, like, you know.
Oh, I have a good story about this, actually. Yesterday, my boyfriend went to the grocery store, mm-hmm, and he had that thing happen where someone opens the door for you, but they're, like, really far away, you know?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes.
And yeah, so... Yeah. But the person who opened the door for him was Will Sasso, like comedic actor Will Sasso, who's apparently a huge guy.
Yeah.
And so he just like sees him opening the door for him. And my boyfriend's like, oh, and like runs to try and get over it. But then like runs in so fast that his AirPods fall. He drops everything.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, oh, that's a great one of those examples. You're like, I appreciate you, but you didn't need to do that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Just make it worse. Yeah. Like, somehow.
Have you guys ever held the door for somebody and they get mad at you? Like, I've definitely
had that happen.
Oh, I've definitely, because I like to open the door for guys, especially like old men. And I've had several of them then put their hand above mine to hold the door for me to go in.
Never go under them. Like some kind of grade school game. Yeah.
Exactly. And I just go, you're welcome. And I walk away every time. It's very fun. It just cracks me up. I'm just like, oh, I was just being nice, but all right.
Speaking of grocery store, I think it's, have you guys, I'm sure you've had someone do this for you, but like where you might have like, whatever, a box of cereal and the person in front of you has like a full ass thing and yeah. they're like, you go ahead of me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I always feel like kind of a dick doing that. Like I didn't, it's like, thank you, but like, it's cool. Like, you know what I mean? Like, do you guys always say yes to that if someone offers it?
You feel
it?
Like a dick?
I don't know. I was like, yes. I wasn't thinking it. Like, I'm chill. Like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't like, oh, this asshole with his whole fucking grocery order.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I will if it's like, you know, they have an exorbitant amount of shit or something. Sure.
Yeah, but like someone did it to me the other night where I was like, he had like maybe 15 things and I had 2. And he was like, do you want to go ahead of me? Like, and I was like, sure, thank you. And but I felt like rude saying yes and rude saying no.
He's avoiding something at home. He's avoiding something at home. You actually did him the favor.
He's letting
you gave him an extra few
minutes.
Yeah.
I always say, like, you know, at the end of the day, you're doing them a favor. They want to feel like, you know, the one good deed of the day. And, like, they walk out of there just kind of smugly, like, I deserve a $7 coffee, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. You unlocked a coffee, Tess, is what you actually did. Yes.
Look, if that's what I can do on this planet is help people justify their $7 coffees, I'm successful.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm glad you liked it out here. I mean, it's, you know, it's interesting. We're all from, like, Tess is from out here. Brandy's from the East Coast, and I'm from Salt Lake City. So we all have obviously different perspectives of coming here. Mm-hmm. But I do think that LA especially has such, obviously, it has such like a reputation or, you know, so much history here. And it's like funny when you're here because you're like, well, if you find your people, really, you're just finding really driven, interesting, artistic people who wanted to like do something interesting with their life. And like the industry, of course, does fuck your brain up and it's a nightmare, but
suckles your soul out of the hole in the back of your head.
But if you find your people, you're like, oh, okay. And then when you do run into those networkers, it's so obvious right away that it's like, you're like, oh, they're like so creepy.
Well, and it's funny because it's like, I've definitely, it's also a city of a lot of transplants, which means like those people existed somewhere else. They just flocked here. So it's,
exactly.
You'll meet those type of people everywhere. There's just less of them.
They're very concentrated.
Well, that's exactly kind of my takeaway was, you know, everyone makes it sound like LA is nothing but networkers, nothing but wannabe, you know. But that was my thought exactly was, well, New York has people like that.
Yeah.
And everywhere else had weird people and fake people and a melting pot of people. Like, surely it's not every single person.
Yeah. Like, LA is like a rich, like, a bunch of cultures and stuff too. It's just, you know, it's like an erasure of like the rich cultural history that is all over this city and has been around for a long time.
I will say this about LA, like I do think that the number of insanely hot people that live here is disturbing and can fuck with you on a deep level. Like, like I do think people are like way hotter here than in the rest of the world, really.
That's why I just stay in my circles.
I was about to say, that was the one thing that I did find was 100% true. There was very, very attractive people. And again, like, not like every single person. It's not like its own dimension. It was just like, like a noticeable amount.
I grew up here and I didn't know that like real estate agents aren't always hot. I didn't know that the weather lady isn't always hot. Like I thought that's just what that job was.
Oh yeah.
I feel like whether people are hot. Oh, maybe not.
No. It's a lot of.
You've just been living here for a while.
Yeah. A lot of used car salesman energy. Oh yeah. Going on.
They got sold that sunset. You know.
Yeah. Do you watch Selling That's Sunset?
So every now and then. Well, like I do like I love my junk TV. I love The Bachelor. But Selling Sunset is almost too much for me. It's almost like
I couldn't do it. I'm not doing this one.
I love it. And like, you don't need to know anything about the show to know that like the people on that show have the dream job, which is all they do is wear cute outfits, drink coffee, and gossip. Like that's all they do at work. I'm like, yeah. That sounds amazing. And then they go hang out in mansions. I'm like, this sounds way cooler than being a movie star.
They kind of show off a place, a beautiful house to a beautiful person who was going to buy a house anyway, regardless of them being there.
Exactly.
But it's fun just being a broker that's like, look, we all have money. Which one do you want? You don't want to spend any time on Zillow. Here you go.
I didn't know what this show was at all. And looking at the photos of it, it looks psychotic. These people are real estate agents?
Yeah. It's like if the housewives sold houses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's why, and by the way, all of my friends are hot. I don't even want to think I'm not saying that. But, but I'm saying that, like, this is why I don't hang out with, like, I'm not in that crowd.
I would
so
never.
I'm not, like,
so we're hot, but we're not, like, that hot. We're hot, but we're not.
No, but I'm saying, like, that is a level of, like, I can't comprehend putting yourself together on that level every day. Like,
well,
I'm not
my job.
That makeup, yeah, all of it. So I just am like, that's something I just don't associate with in any way, you know?
Full-time like, job shit.
Contouring, yeah, just everything. It's
one of the has a purse that is not a purse. It's a chair. It's like a miniature chair, and you can't put anything in it. It's just a miniature chair that she wears as like a crossbody. And like, imagine having so little to do that like you don't even need your purse to hold purse stuff.
She just carries a chair, like an old veteran in a parade. That's
like, imagine that it almost looks like, and I think it's a chair. And now I'm like, is it a chair? It's some inanimate object. I'm almost positive it's a chair. But yeah, it's like a doll chair that she wears in place of a purse.
Oh my God.
Fashion, you know, fashion is fashion.
I know.
I remember, yeah, those like novelty crossbody body bags. I remember I used to have one that was a rainbow. And I don't mean like it had a rainbow on it. I mean it was rainbow shaped and that like in the middle it had this like concave just gap where all your stuff would go in one end of the rainbow or the other.
Right.
Yeah. Architecturally not the most sound shape of a purse.
Yeah, like instead of a pot of gold, it's like some old gum, a breath mint, and a receipt you meant to throw in.
Oh yeah. Like your wallet could not fit.
Okay, I have a question. What do you guys think is, because I still haven't figured this out, what is the ideal purse size?
Well, what do you carry in a purse? Yeah, because I don't carry a purse. So, what do you need to have with you every day?
So, because you guys know that I got my purse/wallet thrown away at Beyonce.
Yes.
I was carrying. Yeah, they made me throw. It was literally the size of my cell phone. Only held my credit cards, and they made me throw that away. So I was carrying that for like a couple years, and like it never really was working out because it wasn't big enough to hold my keys or my sunglasses. So I need something that's at least big enough for my keys and my sunglasses.
Right.
And like ideally like a notebook, I would say, are the things that I want to hold.
I mean, because like I don't really carry a purse anymore. I just have my phone that has my cards on it and then I have my keys like in my pocket. So I usually just use a tote bag like if I'm going to have to carry stuff. So I feel like a tote bag size.
Mini backpack, tote bag. Like I like a little backpack. I feel
I like
secure.
A little backpack too.
You've got a backpack,
like a little backpack too.
You?
Yeah. I do. Yeah. I was asking you guys about purses and none of us know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have the only designer thing that I own is my bag. It's a Coach bag. So it's really sturdy. And the reason why I like them sturdy is that, like, honestly, it's like a weird, like, shelf on your hip because you can, like, put stuff kind of on the, like, I mean, not literally on the purse, but, like, in the purse. It just has, like, a big pocket while you're doing other things. I I used to go that minimalist, like phone cards, keys, but then I got really into cash stuffing.
What's cash stuffing?
Do you know what cash stuffing
is? No,
I don't know what it is, but yeah, tell us about it.
Yeah, it's like, it's all these girlies, and I think, I've never seen a non-girly do it, but they're all over TikTok and YouTube, and basically they have these binders, and the mini binders, and the binders have these cash, like envelopes in the binder rings, and each of them has a category like car payment, rent, makeup money, going out money, and they take their paycheck, they get it out of their bank in cash, and they it's a budget. Okay. It's like you physically budget out like how much you want to put in like each category,
right?
But there is also this element of like ASMR. In that they have this hyper hot microphone on it.
Yeah.
And on top of that, they're all like the binders are pink, and they do savings challenges where like they save $5 every other day or whatever, and they make it kind of like a game. They kind of what I can only describe as they girlify it. Like, yeah. They make it really fun.
Okay, I would like, so it's like, can you download like an app that kind of like gives you these challenges, or do
they actually like all the big people online that cash stuff, they have their own shop. So they actually like manufacture account PDF downloads. Or I think you can go on their Etsy and buy, you know, the
You can like buy the whole thing that they use, the stuffing stuff, or just like the plan. Or, you know, you can just watch their videos and do it that way.
Yeah.
You can go on there. And the interesting thing is the binders and all the little money sleeves and the stickers and everything, you can't buy it anywhere other than, like, from them. Mm.
Of course.
So it kind of is a little bit, I don't want to call it like a pyramid scheme. It's not that.
It's a triangular scheme. It's a triangle shaped.
You kind of want them count the money that you gave them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Has this helped you? Are you like saving more money?
Yeah. Like it actually has. And I'll be the first to admit that like I dip in and out of the habit.
Of course.
But it actually, like, it makes me more excited about money. And money was always this, like, really scary, dark, daunting thing. And for a while, I had that, what I call, like, a one-pot system where it all went into checking, one checking account, and then back in the day when I wasn't really making that much money, I had $5.
It makes sense because, like, actually handling your money, doing that, it's a lot more like you're actually seeing where it's going, and not instead of it being like in your checking account, which feels maybe like a little bit just removed from you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like, I like using cash for that reason. Like, I'll do maybe not exactly that, but I'll do a version of that where it's like, okay, this weekend, I only want to spend $150. So right. I'll take out $150. And like, if I go to brunch and spend 100 of it, then like, I only have, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of do like using cash for that reason, because I do feel like debit and credit cards, like, it's really hard to track, especially when you're doing them for like these little miscellany kind of items where it's like, my brain isn't even clocking the parking and the lift and like that kind of shit. Yeah. Like, it doesn't even feel real. Whereas like, I do feel like cash can be a little bit easier to kind of like moderate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You feel like it's really giving up something.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I'm a bookkeeper, so I'm gonna be over here.
You always are clocking every purchase.
Yeah. I mean, I use QuickBooks. Like, I go through my stuff like weekly. So I kind of like know where everything is going. It takes me like 10 minutes basically a week just to be like, boop, 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 boop. Cause I have like rules basically set for everything. So I kind of just can look at my budget stuff going forward. And
I'm a big mess. I'm nowhere near that.
Do you have like a really specific budget, Brandy?
I don't have a specific, no. I mean, I used to, but I don't anymore. I just like to just kind of see, oh, you're spending more on like food this month than like you probably should. Like, take it. Let's just like cook at home for the next couple weeks or whatever. Like, that way I can kind of like, and I also know, it's more just like I like know what money's coming in to make sure that I'm spending less than I'm making, basically.
Yeah.
And I have like, I use Acorns. I have like a Vanguard account. So I have other stuff that like, Acorns takes out $5 a week just out of my account and then just puts it in an account that accrues interest like over there. So I like have like a high yield savings account that's happening at a very slow rate on and like stuff like that. So it's like, but it's like, it took me a while to get to a point that I make enough now that I'm not like, oh shit, I'm like down to the last $10 in my account or whatever. But like, you know, once you get past that, then I think it's just like, okay, I need to like make what I have work for me. So I kind of just try to get it out and be working on it, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. I've seen a lot of the cash stuffing things, and I've never done it because I think also that would not solve any of my problems.
I would still be a mess.
I know, I'd be terrified to lose that. So yeah, do you carry it around with you, Tina? Or what do you, are you, well, I guess we shouldn't say so this.
That is the thing. I know that some people do it, actually carry it around. They have like this big wallet of it. I don't, like, I mainly do it just to kind of visualize. And then use it. I admit that, like, I've done it and then kind of just wad up all the money and stuff in the back of it. In my wallet. Like, it was almost just kind of, I'll take the money from coffee money and going out money and dining money, and I'll take that and I'll wad it all up and put that in my wallet. But just so that, like, you know, I can better kind of, if I'm going out for errands or going to walk, I bring a different kind of wad of money than of cash than I do going out to a show or shopping.
Right. Yeah. Just dealing in wads. You got wads.
Wads. No. All these wads. Not stacks. Wads.
Yeah.
That's okay, funny. We have to take a break and go count our wads.
Yeah, we'll we're not going to blow our wad on this segment, you guys.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Tina.
Hell yeah. And we're going to play a game to get to know you a little better. It's stupid. It's called This or That.
Oh, I love stupid. Let's go for it.
This or that. This or that. This or that.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay. Tina, fake tan or real tan?
Oh, that's a hard one, actually, because I never think fake tans look good. However, I'm a huge advocate for, like, sunscreen and, you know, so fake tan. Always. But, like, a good one. Like, spend your money right. in a good place.
Yeah. That the fake tan that you have an envelope for is the one that works.
Stuff that money.
I've only done it once for going to our friend's wedding in Mexico, and man, that was, I wish I could do it more. It was amazing. It felt like so good.
I know, like, I feel like getting a fake tan is like flying in first class. Like, it kind of ruins you because you're like, I can't afford to do this all the time, but like, I want this to be my life.
Yeah.
It would also just actually make me shave my legs more, which would probably be great.
What happens if you don't shave your legs? Does it like accumulate on your
head? No, like, you're just supposed to exfoliate, and like your skin's supposed to be very like exfoliated. So I'm not sure what would happen if you didn't actually.
Yeah, it would probably, you just have, it would look like a, like when a blast goes off and you see like a shadow on a wall. It would just be like just a bunch of like leg hair shadows all up and down your leg.
Oh, it's just a matchingly bright orange leg hair.
Yeah.
Just like, it does.
Yeah, it feels like it would run for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, be an only child or have siblings?
Oh, have siblings. Definitely. So I have one brother. And yeah, like I couldn't imagine being an only sibling. Like, it's so funny because I have friends that grew up with four siblings, three siblings. And they're like, you have one sibling? Wasn't that like awkward?
Awkward. That's so funny.
Yeah, you better like that one.
Yeah, it's just like what if you like don't like it? It's like, well, you kind of like, you know, you became BFF in grade school, and so yeah, I would definitely say, being an only child, I would say, I don't think it's worth the extra presents at Christmas.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, I have two older. It's like, you know, obviously, if you're not an only child, I think it's like hard to imagine being one. So I can't. It would just be like a different world.
Yeah. But then, like, now that I have friends who are having kids, I totally get why there are only children.
Yes.
Yeah. Not to diss my only child friends out there, but it is kind of funny to think that they were like, we're good.
There is something like very classy about having one child.
Yeah. I'm not gonna kill this.
It's very like Gloria Vanderbilt Anderson Cooper. It's very yeah.
This one, that's all we need. We have the air.
Yeah. I grew up in Middlebury, Vermont, a college town, and a lot of my friends in grade school had parents who were professors at Middlebury, you know. And a few of them, were only children. And I'm not saying that there's a correlation. There's most likely not. But I think, I always associate it.
Right. They were like,
we're both working. We can't.
We're both working.
Yeah.
They're the kind of parents that drink wine every night at the dinner table.
Right.
Yeah.
The intellectuals.
Because it's just one kid you're drunk around. Like,
yeah. And they've got no one to talk to about it. So, you know, have you done anything wrong?
Yeah.
Okay. So do. Tina, Marilyn Monroe or Betty Page?
Ooh. Oh. Oh my God.
That's a hard one.
I guess Marilyn Monroe, only because like I've been looking into her more. Well, she's one of those people that so kind of pushed into your face your whole life,
yeah,
and you disregard
totally.
It, you don't even see it after a while,
mm-hmm.
And then like once in your life, you kind of have this like weird kick where you like learn all about them and that happened to me, I think, recently for Marilyn Monroe. Just, you know, and I think it's, well, it's no big secret that she was gross. I didn't mean to call it a secret, but it was open knowledge that she was very smart and very, you know, like, and very, very self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just, I've found appreciation for her.
I thought you were going to say murdered by the CIA.
And that's an open secret.
I have not done the deep dive on Betty Page. I've definitely done the deep dive on Marilyn.
Betty's life is pretty sad. I mean, neither of them.
Yeah, they both are.
How did Betty Page die again?
So she didn't know that her photos were actually famous until like crazy. She went into like a place and saw her stuff for sale. And so she like never really profited off of her image, really. And she became like a very hardcore born again Christian and denounced all of it, wouldn't let people take her photo for the last like 30 years of her life. And she died in Florida. Like, really?
Wow.
Yeah. She just, wow. And real.
So like both women who were just like, so obviously had their humanity kind of divorced from their image. And like, even though Marilyn obviously had money, like,
yeah,
I don't know. I actually should know this, but I don't know who owns the Marilyn Monroe estate at this point, but like, it's like, she had nobody to leave that money. Like the amount of money that maybe she made in her lifetime is a sliver in comparison to the way that like her likeness has been used and exploited after her death.
No, I mean, it's so creepy to think about celebrities who just like, or their likenesses are still making money. And you're like, who is making money off of this? It's so weird.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you think back to like the pop art thing, like, was that all going to Andy Warhol? Or was it going to her?
Her, so 25% of her IP went to her psychoanalyst and 75% went to her acting coach, Lee Strasberg.
Oh, that's right.
And then when you Google who owns Marilyn Monroe's image, something called Authentic Brands Group comes up.
It's the same. And same thing happened with, that there's like a group of people that basically like come into like dead celebrities' estates, like especially people like Marilyn or like Prince, where like there's nobody there to sort of like that was willed that sort of asset.
Yeah.
And then they take over the the participation in the profiting on their likeness.
I mean, we could talk about this is when me and Tess got this is so funny. We someone hired us to do like a talk about Britney, and we were like, let's do something a little bit different. We were like, we're going to talk about Marilyn and Britney and how their lives are similar, and it was a bomb. It bombed.
We bombed so hard.
It was incredibly embarrassing. We presented a slideshow over Zoom to people, and it did not go well.
No. It's a blank stares the whole
blank
time.
Blank fucking stares. Fucking call Taylor because there was blank spaces everywhere. It was. And like we had planned out this, like it was one of those things where it was like we had planned out, like I think our talk was like an hour long, and we realized like minute 5 that we were bombing.
Oh.
Oh man, that's even worse than being in the middle of a sketch that's bombing, because that's like an hour.
Yeah.
Oh no. Can you and you can't really acknowledge the bomb in that situation, huh?
No,
because you're not like in a comedy situation. Yeah. You're like, yeah, I'm trying to do something educational. Oh my god, it was really funny. I will always associate Marilyn with that moment.
That weird kind of like that weird hustle you get when you're bombing, and you're just like, okay, let's speed round to this.
Right, right. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure we were like, let's cut out a bunch of this.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Passwords or secret handshakes?
Ooh.
Ooh, I like that one.
Secret handshakes. I don't know. I mean, okay, so I would say passwords because, like, I never understand how people can remember all these handshakes.
Oh, yeah, same. Truly not.
Even as a kid, I'm like, I would see friends do it, and I'd be like, how do you want to just sit there and memorize that?
Yeah.
Like,
and, like, are you practicing? Like by yourself?
I know my brain's not capable, but I know. You know what? I'm gonna say neither.
Yes. Open source. Open source. Fair.
Open. We're all open book here. Trust everyone.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I mean, no. Like passwords, and I'm definitely the kind of person that, like, you know, I'm always forgetting the password and, like, having to I'm thinking now of like online passwords,
right yeah, like, let me reset, and it's like, well, what's the password to get in to reset the password? And then
I know.
Well, and like, bars with passwords make me mad because I'm like, you're gonna let me in, shut up.
I feel I only know of one bar with a password. Is there a lot of them?
I've done shows in a few cities that have them too. And I'm just like, if somebody came to see me and they can't get in because they don't know the name of some bullshit. That's you gotta follow them on Instagram to know their password. It's like,
right. Yeah, just, that's annoying.
Yeah.
Make a damn drink.
I'm gonna start doing that. I'm gonna at shows, I'm gonna be like, everyone has to follow me on Instagram before I perform.
I'll wait.
I did a show the other week, which was for a dating app, and they hosted their own show here in New York as I think like a marketing thing. But the only funny part was that you had to have an account already on the app to get into the show.
Right. Yeah.
So it didn't make sense to me. Like,
you're like, don't you want people to download the app? I don't
care. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm totally misconstruing their intentions, but yeah, like, it was like, wait, it seems like a lot of preaching to the choir here.
That's kind of fun. You're like swiping and you're like just within these walls, like someone's forking.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you can be like, do they have the same sets? Are they laughing at the same stuff as me? Because that's important, you know?
Right, exactly. I mean, maybe it was more like that. Maybe it was because it was a dating app, maybe it was meant to be more like a mingling thing. But
yeah.
But,
No, I'd be like, really? Yeah, they should. They shouldn't be turning people. It's like, also, you can download this in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I did a stand-up show that was, like, part of a dating situation, and the premise was, like, every comic after your set, then the host would – you're supposed to leave the room, and then the host would be like, who was that your favorite comic? And everyone that raises their hand, you get a card of a certain color, and then I guess you match with people that have the same color. Y'all, I have never – run out of a room faster in my life. I took out two women on my way out. Like, I had this, like, gut. I was like, I don't want to be here when this shit happens. And I just, like, bolted the fuck out. I just, no.
You were single? Like, were you,
no,
like...
No, I was a comic. So right. You're the comic.
Oh, I and see. Then so after connecting.
Yes. Whether they like me.
That is a nightmare. Oh my God.
I kind of hate that. I hate that there could potentially be couples out in the world having like a massive fight, and the only reason they met was me.
Yeah, for
that's
real.
That's a lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah. There could be a child born because of a joke I told someday. Like, no, thank you. Too much pressure. No. We're not that important.
At least name it after all of us.
Okay, Tina, let's do one more. Self-control or happiness?
Like, that's the or.
I mean, God, like, if self-control is so diabolical in your head that it takes away, like it denies you happiness, by far happiness. Like, it makes me think, well, this is just where my brain goes, of like, you know, hearing doctors and their advice and like, oh, you know, no, it was actually, when my dad was coming out of the hospital the other year and was recovering from something, and he and my mom had asked the doctor on the way out, like, so in terms of, like, drinking, I mean, he wasn't, like, a big drinker at all, but, like, in terms of, like, having a wine or what, it's no longer like a reality for him. And the doctor said, like, oh, I mean, like, live your life. I always remember that, just because I loved that, like, as a doctor, they're not allowed to be like, oh, yeah, drink, But like, I love that they frame it as live your life. So, like, have a good life.
Yeah.
That's great. Cool, yeah, very cool quality over quantity. But, you know, so good. I think it really depends. Like, it really, in terms of context. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, because like you said, it's like if you're struggling so much with self-control that it's fucking up your happiness, it's probably not a great place to be in. You
yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, very kind of like immediate gratification versus right. Delayed gratification.
Yeah.
The constant struggle.
Yeah. But, you know, everything in moderation, including moderation.
Yeah.
Exactly. I love that.
Boom. Exactly. Put it in the bumper sticker.
There you go.
All right. We're going to go live our lives real quick and we will BRB.
Hey, everybody. We're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
Tina.
Hell yeah. We're going to do lady problems, everybody. Give us a phone call if you want to ask us for some advice. You can reach us at 323-6-BUT-30 or email us ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems, do you have them?
Hi, I
was just calling because I've been going through a terrible breakup. I found out that I was the third relationship of five women on this guy, and he and I even traveled, like, the world together at a few places. And the cool thing is that his girlfriend and I left him at a gas station to find his own way home, which was, like, an hour away from his home, so that was cool. But I've just been really struggling to kind of find myself again and not be so sad all the time. I thought he was the one, and he seemed really genuine and kind and sweet and was always there for me. And it turned out that he's just a big fat liar. So any encouragement and advice would be great right now. Thanks. Bye.
Oh my god. I feel like I'm hulking out. I'm
angry. I know.
For you. That's so awful. Oh man.
Three out of five. He was have five relationships at the same time. How do you even do that?
What? Well, April Richardson has told this story a bunch of times because April was in a similar situation,
right,
where she had like an army ranger or something that was dating, and a bunch of them found each other and like confronted. She's told the story publicly, so like, yeah. If a listener, I would go maybe if April. She's like told it in a very funny way, and it might feel good to feel like, okay, this is how somebody else handled it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you've gotten some revenge to some degree already. Like, congratulations. And like, also, I love that you bonded with one of the other women versus like making, you know, being like, she's the problem, you know, like, good on you for that.
Yeah. I mean, I think the important thing here is that even though it sucks, you should not have to go through with this. None of you should. But I know that it's really hard to not blame yourself, you know, and be like, why didn't I see the signs? But unfortunately, there are some men who are incredibly good at this.
Yeah.
And like, it is not your fault that he is some, you know, sociopath who's for some reason good at tricking women. Like, there are men who are just good at this. They're good at lying. They can really trick people easily. And like, it's a nightmare. But I hope you can try to be easy on yourself and like, know that it's not you, you know?
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing is like extricating yourself from any sense of culpability or like, oh my God, like I think we've all to some degree been like manipulated or lied to by somebody, whether it's in a romantic capacity or not. Like it happens to people.
Yeah.
And it's so, I think part of what your brain does is your brain actually wants it to kind of be your fault because like that's in some ways like an easier reality to accept because then you would have had control over that situation. If there was like a misstep that you made, then like, then that actually, like, I think that's your brain being like, and in the future, I'll be able to prevent it because I'll know the sign. And it's like, no, like this person is a malicious, manipulative liar who unfortunately is spending like all of their time and all of their mental energy and all of their intelligence. They're probably a relatively smart person and they're just funneling it all into taking advantage of people and lying to people. And like, there's the smartest person in the world could fall to someone like that. It has nothing to do with you whatsoever.
Yeah. I always I love that mentality that goes around of you're mourning the relationship you thought you had. You're mourning the one you thought you were going to have. And you know, that's why so often, like, I relate to her so much that someone does something terrible, betraying to you, and yet you still are speaking about how sweet they were and how, you know, you are singing their praises still. It doesn't just evaporate. Yeah, that just kind of almost like you're realizing that the person you thought they were never completely really existed. That can be really, I was talking to you guys before we got on here that I'm going through a breakup right now. Different scenario, but there is I mean, even this morning, I was sitting drinking coffee, and I got hit with this momentary, like, insane kind of regret for ending the relationship. And it came not from real logic, but it came from that morning and that kind of, for me, the denial that I had of that, no, it's a great relationship. It's, I'm just overreacting. My friends are just reacting to hearing this. Mm-hmm. Like, it can be, all this is like, I think that morning, what you thought, what they almost like what they could have been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the potential.
Mm-hmm. Powerful.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's and like the honest person in this scenario, like you really were there. Mm-hmm. Like, so I think that's like a weird dissonance to kind of process is like you weren't mm-hmm. full of shit. You were there having those experiences. Like, mm-hmm. and so like it's not like you can't and shouldn't negate all that time you spent because like you, that was real for you. That was your life. That was time that you spent with that person. And like to that extent, like those, I don't think that just because this person's a piece of shit and a liar and a manipulative loser means that you need to like act like the times you had with them didn't exist. They did. Yes. They were real. That mm-hmm. was real. Like you don't need to deny that reality, but you do need to process like that this person actually never was. This person never really cared for you if they treated you like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and also I think that like those memories, like this person was a liar psychopath, which means that I bet you so many of these memories you have an emotional resonance with, I bet you you were the catalyst behind them to some degree. So it means that came from you, mm-hmm. which means like that's in you regardless of who that other person is. So like these memories that you love in your relationship that you're missing, you're the force behind them. You know?
Oh, I love that.
Who that other person is, you're that relationship is fucking you and how mm-hmm. you love, you know, regardless of who that person is.
I know,
me too. I love that. I just listened to a season of the podcast Dr. Death, and most recent season was about this guy who, not only the doctor part of it was fucked up, he was like doing surgery on people and giving them tracheas that had been 3D printed, and he had never tested on any animals.
What?
God.
Didn't go well. Yeah,
oh my
I know.
God.
But
Christ.
Also, he was completely fooling a woman, a very smart, you know, amazing woman, a journalist. Mm-hmm. He fooled her. They fell in love, quote unquote. He fooled her into thinking that he was single and that he was this like doctor to the stars and that I am not kidding you. This is where it got to. Sorry, this is a spoiler, but I just want to like let this woman know that this shit happens. He mm-hmm. told her like they were supposed to get married in the Catholic Church, but in like Rome, but they couldn't because she'd been divorced before. He said, I'm going to go talk to my contacts at the Vatican and I'm going to let you know what goes on. He said, you know what? I talked to the Pope. The Pope said he's going to marry us himself. That's where this got to. She thought she was getting married by the Pope and like a month before found out that it was all a lie, that this man was married with children and all. And so like, that's what it's like. This shit can happen to anybody. Like this is like, you know,
it's almost
totally
like a reverse gaslight because it's like, it is this, like you're making somebody feel like they're crazy, but they don't even know that that's what's happening because you're like filling this positive tank basically and then pulling it all away at once.
And I think like to the Pope thing, it's like that sounds pretty absurd if you're just hearing it like, oh, the first thing they say is the Pope's gonna marry you. But like the way this shit works is like mm-hmm. they know that they have to build your trust and they know exactly what kind of details to fill in. And like also mm-hmm. like, look, for someone to be like skeptical enough to question all of these batshit lies, Mm-hmm. Like, that's not a way to live your life either, right? Like, you can't go into a romantic relationship thinking that someone has four other girlfriends and is lying about knowing the Pope. Like, you can't live with that kind of skepticism either. And so they prey on that.
Right.
And then I think it's almost like they get you to have enough, like, trust chips on the table that you kind of just keep buying in. So by the time they talk about the Pope marrying you, you're like,
exactly.
It's grooming.
From the outside, you're like, what the fuck? But she was so in it that she was like, okay.
Yeah.
No, it's grooming stuff. It's like you start small. And like, there's also tests of faith in you every time, too, to be like, do you still have faith? Do you still have faith in this thing that we're building?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's like a cult of narcissism, because it's like the farther you get, extricating yourself from a cult gets harder and harder, because at some point you need to say, oh, I was wrong.
Yes.
And then I was wrong about all of this. Oh, fuck. Like, it becomes harder and harder to admit, because you've got so many chips in the game at a certain point, too.
And
one thing that happens, and I speak unfortunately from experience, is that that reinforcing of, do you trust me? I'm here for you. Like verbal confirmation constantly. You're in this, right? You, I got you, right? Mm-hmm. Say that. Mm-hmm. And then when you hit the point where something happens and you're doubting it, and you're kind of, you get any kind of change of mind or doubt, you cannot go back, because it's almost a verbal paper trail of, but you, look at all these times it did say, you trusted me.
Yeah, and now you're a liar if you say you don't trust me now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I will say, like, narcissists actually target charismatic, confident people.
Yes.
And I think that there's this misconception that they target people that are very obviously vulnerable or have a low self-image. Mm-hmm. And actually what they're trying to do is, like, invasion of the body snatchers, the good stuff in you. So, like, that's why you were targeted. It's because of how awesome you are that you were targeted. Oh,
no, they want that. They can't get it. So they're trying to.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, it's like a conquest, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's that much, you know, means that much more.
Yes. Yeah. Because they're a shitty little void, and they know they're always going to be a shitty little void. And you're going to die a black hole, motherfucker, and that's all you are.
Yes.
Collapsing on yourself and disappear into space, bitch.
Go sucking yourself up.
Yeah.
But we love you. We're sending you so much love and support. And I'm so sorry that you went through this. It's going to get better. You're going to wake up soon, and it's going to feel a little bit better. And then it's going to start feeling more and more like that. But I'm so sorry. But,
like, take care of yourself and, like, process this so that you don't bring it into your next relationship, because you don't deserve this shit. And and I think the most important thing, like, the crime, one of the biggest crimes this person committed against you is, like, he fucked with your ability to trust people. That's fucking bullshit. And he can go fuck himself for that. But, like, you do need to process that, because, like, there are good people out there, and, like, not every guy is going to be this guy.
Yeah, and guess what? You're going to have a relationship that is real and, like, and based in truth and honesty, and he's incapable of that.
Yeah.
He'll never have that. Never have that.
No.
Yeah.
So fuck him forever, and I'm really glad that you and that girl left him at the gas station. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I want more info on this, please.
I know. Enjoy these Slim Jims, bro. See you later.
Tina, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, my God. It's been great. Thank you all for having me.
You're so welcome.
Let everybody know where they can find you online, find your stuff, all that.
Absolutely. So I'm all over Instagram and TikTok under just my name, Tina Frimmel. And that's F-R-I-M-L. So, I'm all over there. And that is where you can also get my tickets and find out where I'm going to be performing and all the above.
Hell yeah. Amazing. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We had a blast. And thanks, everybody.
Talk to y'all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, guys.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hey, ladies. This is Aisha, and I wanted to call in for everyone who's been asking for advice related to making friends in a new city. I've moved around a lot. Thing that I use the most is Bumble BFF. It's essentially the dating app for finding friends. So yeah, you're going to have some of those same challenges as you would on Tinder or regular Bumble, but I think it's worth the swipe, and it's kind of fun. I love judging people. Good luck with that, everyone. Bye.
Hi, ladies. Long time listener. I live just right outside of Salt Lake City. I was just listening to your episode about cussing and swear words, and I am definitely one of those parents that I don't really care about swearing. I just don't want name calling. So you can swear, just don't direct it towards a person. And I kind of secretly love it when my kids' friends come over and they accidentally say a swear word and then they apologize. And then my kids are like, oh no, they don't care. It's fine. It makes me laugh so much inside. But then I always have to say, if your parents ask about it, I'm not going to tell them I let you swear. Anyway, have a wonderful day. Thanks for sharing up my day all the time.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine. Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker. Follow Lady to Lady on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, you can rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Lady to Lady merch.